Hello, everyone. It is time for the Hockey Talkie Podcast. We're going to help you set your fantasy lineup for the week. I'm Travis. We get Jesse here beside me. How are you going, Jesse?
Good. Pretty eventful week. It wasn't that eventful hockey-wise, but Montreal got some revenge. That was exciting. Not on the Columbus, of course, but they shellacked Colorado 10-1.
Yeah, lots is going on, but fantasy-wise, we're pretty much in cruise right now.
It is such a... we're looking at some of the players we got to talk to you about today. It's pretty standard stuff. It wasn't a pretty steady week, I imagine, for most people. I think the teams that were probably better won this week. I don't think there was a lot of crazy underdog success things. So, So, nonetheless, pretty good week, though.
Not many players exploded, per se. So, we'll give you some guys that caught our eye.
Yeah, we still have some good future picks. It's we're in the thick, we're in the middle. We're game almost 30 now. So, trade deadline is not till February 28th, so still lots of time there. We'll see some probably major movement then, but I imagine everything's super set now for rosters, so we'll see what happens.
Yeah, unless you're in a head-to-head league or something like that. All right, question of the day. Well, before I get into the question, you guys know where to find us at Fantasy NHL Talk on Facebook and Twitter. Send us your questions. We love hearing from you guys. Okay, now let's jump into the question. My question here is actually just for you, Jesse.
Yes, I love it.
So this year in fantasy, usually about this point, you start thinking if you want to be a buyer or if you want to be a seller.
Okay.
If your team is being competitive, if you want to buy lots of guys, maybe give up draft picks for next year, or if you want to sell your team and rebuild for next year, mm-hmm. getting those draft picks. So what are you doing this year so far? And explain your thought process behind, maybe holding off a little bit longer, or what you're going to do.
So first of all, I'll preface with our league. In our league, we have a keeper system, and in order to make trades more interesting and valuable, we introduce draft picks. So for example, if I wanted to acquire, say, I know you have Malkin, Travis, so I'd be like, hey, I'll give you a lower player and my first round next year in order to buy a Malkin type player.
Yep.
And if you're not keeping a player, it's worthwhile, assuming you're not trying to push to win, to sell players to other owners, because you'll get a much stronger draft next year. I'm not sure, this probably won't affect anyone in head-to-head leagues or even most leagues. It really depends. It's hard to make even trades and buy if you don't have some sort of extra incentive. So if you're in a league like ours that does have a trade pick, that's a really good way to do around it. I can't think of another way. I don't know if you can think of another way how to make trades for buying. I don't really know.
No, that's pretty much the only way. You're buying those players, but your draft will suffer next year.
Yeah, exactly right. My thought is I'm currently in sixth. I'm about 100 fantasy points behind first place, which may sound like a lot, but it's not super insurmountable. We've seen lots of leads get caught up in our league. The first place team does have a really solid team. I hate giving up. That's just me personally. I'm a super competitive guy. I'm going to try to get as far as I can without physically buying with picks. I'll probably change my tune when it gets to February and see where I'm at. That's when we just totally freeze our league, is after the trade deadline, which is why I mentioned it earlier. So
let me give you a scenario. If you're in the top three and you want to win...
Yeah, you have to buy.
So you're buying.
Yeah. Last year, for example... A huge buy thing I did is I had Jamie Benn on my roster, and in order to win, I sold Jamie Benn to another team for three equally super solid players. So yeah, I gave up an elite first pick, but in return, I was able to get three players that basically solidified my thing, and I cruised to an easy victory because I got Kuznetsov, McKinnon, and some other solid player just by trading a Benn away to shore up the rest of the trash, essentially, that was on my roster. Buying is tough. I know the incentive isn't that exciting sometimes to buy for the chance to only finish in second or third. So that's the super tricky part. In our league, we only pay out the first three spots.
Yep.
It's a fine line. I don't know. It sucks to finish in fourth. That's the worst thing, right?
Yeah. If you buy and then finish in fourth out of money.
Or you just don't buy and you finish in fourth and you're like, well, man, I could have just spent a second rounder or one pick to hopefully move up the money. Yeah, in my theory, it's I'll just always buy. I feel that's the best move. I mean,
to always buy?
To why not? Yeah, they should always try to win. Yep. If your season is totally tanked, and I know some guys who like lost big names, obviously, like, you know, Stamkos, etc. That is super tough, and I understand if my team was super crippled and say I was in last place, I would just be selling like crazy. I would move everyone. Like, in our league, we have three keepers next year, so you got to make sure you can keep three good players. That's the main thing. So keep your three core or whatever, and then just yard sale the rest, field whatever you can.
So if you're in the bottom half of your league, let's say a 12-man league, if you're in...
Yeah, like
in
10 or 9, 8.
Is this a sell time right now, or are you still waiting?
I don't know. I'd have to see you guys' payouts. Or, like, if you're motivated by money, is that what you want? Or are you motivated by the draft picks? Like, what helps? It's based on your personality. Like, I mean, the guy who's in first place in our league does very little buying, like, year to year. He's just not a notorious trader like I am. Like, I've made so many trades already this year. I flipped so many players. I just YOLO because it's fun to have as many players as you can. It's a super personality thing. Like, I mean, I don't even know if the first place guy will buy in our league. I mean, he'll have to if he wants to win.
But maybe he thinks he can win without it.
Yeah, and that's also true. Like, if you can win without buying, it's perfect, right? Because you're set up for next year and you win, right? So this is quite the rant for a question. It's just a complicated question. It's like...
It is.
It just comes down to, like, literally your competitive spirit. I mean... Mm-hmm. We had a guy, for example, Adam, and he bought, I think he traded his first, I think it was like 8 rounds. Like, literally, he didn't pick till the 9th round 1 year to win. And he just gave everyone first, seconds, thirds, like all the way to 8 picks just to win. And he did end up winning that year. But, I mean, you totally, I mean, he didn't have to show up to the draft like 30 minutes later because, like, he's not drafting anything, right? So... I think that's too extreme for me personally. I would only ever give up, like,
I try to buy a little bit to try to test the waters.
Yeah, like,
to see if I'm gonna make a push or not, or if I'm gonna get close to first.
Yeah.
But if I'm in the middle right now, I maybe look for low end bargains.
Yeah.
Or upside players that I think are gonna do better than what I have right now.
Yeah, like, if I were like shaking the eight ball here, I would say I'll probably make one major buy is what I'll do. So, like, I'll give up my first, I imagine, because just one pick, it sucks to give up your first. But the power of a first is really strong, so you could say I give up 3 players and a first for 3 players back kind of thing for an upgrade in all those positions. So I would foresee myself probably doing that and being down a first-round pick, assuming my team stays competitive enough by the trade deadline. Like, if my team's an eighth, I'm not going to waste my time. Like, I'll sell all the players I can. I'll take 13s, 15s. I'll take whatever you can, right? Like, I mean, like, there's no point in finishing 7th when you can finish 9th. Like, it's all the same, right? Like, it's kind of demoralizing to go from, like, winning last year to going to 9th. But, I mean, whatever, it happens, right? So, I would have to see. If you guys have a league that has a different way to incentivize buying and selling, we'd love to hear it.
Yep.
We just use draft picks. I can't even honestly think of any other way. But if you guys have something else, I'd love to hear variations and stuff about how you guys do drafts. But as it is right now, like, don't give up. But, I mean, if the writing is on the wall, then, yeah, be proactive. Be the guy who sells first.
Yeah, that's the thing.
Yeah, corner the market. Get the monopoly out there. Because if you can start selling while other people are still hemming and hawing, it gives you a huge advantage. Like, you'll have 6 players. Like, this happened to a guy in our pool last year. Again, Scott. He just decided to sell in November. Like, literally, like, November. And no one else was even close to selling. So he was just fielding offers like crazy from 8-9 other guys all day. And he was able to make tons and tons and tons of transactions and get picks and tank his team. And it ended up getting him McDavid. So if you have a plan and there's a... I mean, I don't know when the next McDavid is coming. Probably never, I guess. I don't know. Like, but there's always little things you can do in the draft. And... if you are strong enough to just admit your team is toast, then yeah, like I said, corner the market, man, go crazy. Like, it's totally possible to get like a just pool of stack like picks next year. So
it's a loaded question.
It is such a loaded question. It's tough for me. I've never sold, and I don't know what it is. And it's actually something that might be a possibility for me this year. And so it's just something I have to think about. I've always just YOLO buyed and tried to win kind of thing. So, but. It would be interesting to sell. It would be interesting, yeah.
It takes a lot out of you to sell your team.
Yeah,
it's to just like give up.
Yeah, like it's like all your research is for nothing, right? Like all your work, all your picks, and it's just like, oh my god, yeah, thanks for your 13th pick. It's like, ooh, here you go. Like
listening to all these hockey talkie podcasts are all for nothing.
I know, listen to us ramble on and stuff. And then you just sell your team. It's pretty brutal. So
alright, let's keep moving on. Let's put that to bed.
Yeah, that's all I can say for that is make a decision.
Alright, we got news, we got the schedules, risers and fallers, and we'll go into our kudos.
Yeah.
Let's start with the news. You touched on the crazy score, the 10-1 game, Montreal-Colorado.
Yeah, can't start without that.
Pacioretty got 5 points, which was a huge sigh of relief for Pacioretty owners.
Yeah, hopefully that jumpstarts him. Some weird ones, I think, was Gallagher got 1 point, I think. There's a few others that were just, like, totally invisible. Yeah. So, if you didn't get a big piece of that, it's not going to happen again this season. Every season, there's some freak score. Like, it happens. So, hopefully Colorado can come back with a spirited effort tonight anyway.
Ugh.
But, yeah, they got thwomped. I don't know if Pacioretty's had 4 goals in his career before. I'd have to look it up, but that's got to be a massive confidence booster.
Hopefully. Montreal's kind of doing weird scoring shift. There, like, it's not the regular guys that are scoring. It was the Radulov, Galchenyuk,
Paul Byron scoring, Torrey Mitchell was scoring. They got a pretty good committee team. I'm not a Montreal fan.
It's a weird shift, though. Those older guys aren't doing too much.
No, and as you've noticed, I think Weber is starting to slow down.
Yep.
So I think that's going to even out to our earlier prediction of around 40 to 50 points. So we'll have to keep an eye on him.
Let's stick with Montreal. Like I just mentioned, Galchenyuk is now out 6 to 8 weeks. That's a huge hit for people like me that drafted him in the 6th round and were being rewarded hugely for that pick.
Yeah, Galchenyuk was paying off. The new top center is Plekanec there. Unfortunately, Plekanec has no real offensive upside like Galchenyuk had, sorry. If you want to pick a guy just because he eats the minutes and might have an opportunity, Plekanec's a good pick there. If not, just move to a different team kind of thing. It'll give you some other players.
He's getting kind of old now.
Yeah, Plekanec was what I touted the worst pick in our draft.
Oh, yeah.
When we actually did our draft.
Post-draft.
Yeah. So that shows you my feelings for Plekanec nonetheless. So, but he is the number one there. I don't know. There's lots of trade watch rumors in Montreal now about like players like Hanzel and all these other centers. Like Montreal's going to be a buyer. Like they have to be.
Yep.
You can't go into the playoffs without a top line center. That's Plekanec. I mean, come on. Obviously, Galchenyuk will be back by then, but you got to shore up some depth down there. So keep an eye out. They might buy. And if they buy, could be worth a player to keep an eye out for picking up kind of thing.
Yeah. Scheifele's back.
Yes, thank God.
From his little injury. 2 points in 2 games. He's doing so good right now.
Yeah, he's back to point per game. He'll finish literally point per game, I'm sure. Hopefully he didn't panic when he lost him. I'm sure he just rotted on a few people's IR and he's back. So expect the same level of production.
Yeah, point per game for sure.
Yeah, pretty much.
Taves skated. Today is Sunday. He skated the morning today. So okay. He's close to coming back. They didn't say what he was out for, personal or family, but he keeps on missing a game and a game and a game and a game. They're adding up. But he's close to coming back, is what they said.
Okay.
He wasn't going to play tonight.
Yeah, so that'll displace some centermen. I'm not really sure about...
They're rotating everyone there in Chicago.
Yeah, I'm not sure who's taking over the center depth. I mean, I'm sure Anisimov's still up there, along with... who else is the centerman on that team?
Kruger,
that's who it was. Yeah, so Kruger will get demoted. I imagine Hossa will get reunited with Taves, and that'll be... Yeah. So,
back to what they've been doing
back
all year.
To normal there, yeah.
Blackhawks are also missing Crawford for 3 weeks. We talked about it last week about what his surgery was going to require. They're saying 3 weeks.
Yeah, I'm sorry. If you want to look it up, look up appendectomies, look up Getzlaff, look up Pacioretty. I swear there's a pedigree of people coming back from appendectomies very quickly. I don't want to say I don't want to call Corey Crawford a wuss or anything. It could be more extreme than I imagine. But from my research and what I've done, I didn't think this would be a significant injury. So if you have Darling, looks like you're going to get another week out of him. So if you got him, hey, good props to you.
Yeah, but once Crawford comes back, though, Darling's just...
Oh, he'll be back to the 1-4, 1-5 starts again. Yeah.
Yeah. We got a timetable for Stamkos, 6 months.
It is not good, yeah.
6 months.
So if you're doing the math, people, that is January, February, March, April, May, June, which is about mid-playoff
run.
Round two. Round two, round three.
Yeah.
This might be a repeat of last year where he just comes back. Hopefully he can rush up a month or something. I don't know if he can shave a month off rehab, but fantasy-wise, he's done for the season.
Yeah.
We probably won't be mentioning his name very much again. If you own him and you're not in a keeper league, cut the guy, move on. He's not coming back for the rest of the regular season. I don't know what to say there, literally.
This is kind of an interesting player for a guy that's coming into a keeper league, or he's just starting the league, he doesn't have very good players.
Yeah.
Maybe he can trade for the hopes of Stamkos next year coming back.
That's a great point. Like, that's an amazing point for people that are targeting to buy players.
Yeah.
If you come into a league and...
maybe all the good keepers are gone.
Yeah, like, say Stamkos was on a team that was actually doing pretty good already. Give up one of your big picks to help the guy win this year, and in return, like, I gave up Ben, this guy would give up Stamkos, kind of thing.
Yeah.
Especially if you're in a league that doesn't have very many free agent trades, and literally Stamkos is rotting on a guy's bench and doesn't want to give him up. He's gonna be just as great, motivated again next year. He's still young, and that's a fantastic point. So,
actually, last place in our league has talked about Stamkos.
Yeah,
about trying to get him for the next year moving forward.
Yeah,
which is interesting. Huberto, they said he's going to be coming back in the new year.
Really?
So he's about a month away.
Still a month away, okay.
Which is kind of what they said. I think it's a little... Yeah. He's in a walking boot now. He was on a cart or something before, a scooter.
A scooter.
And now he's on a walking boot, so he's moving around a little more.
Yeah, I mean, that's... Progress is progress, I guess. I know Marchessault is still out, so there's no real super stud pickup for Florida on the left side. I don't know if Sevier might still be possible, but I don't...
Griffith.
Yeah. Okay. That's the... Wow. Okay. That's the new left wing with Barkov and Jagr. I'm not going to comment on that. I know nothing about the guy.
That's one of those 2% owned... Yeah.
If you know more about Florida and Seth Griffith, give us a shout-out. Let us know how this guy plays. A more reliable left wing looks like Jussi Jokinen, who got 60 points last year. I'd be looking to him, unless it's Griffith. I can't even say that name. kid is fantastic. So, I don't know how many Florida fans we got out there, but let us know how this guy does, because I have never heard of him. So, but he's got an opportunity. So
there you go. Yeah, Huberto is one of those guys that you're going to have to probably buy about 2 weeks before he comes back.
Right.
And let him sit on your bench, or else you're going to miss him. Someone else is going to take that chance and get him earlier than you. Mm-hmm. Landeskog is back. I know you love Landeskog.
Whatever. But I have no feelings for Landeskog. He might as well be out for the full year. He's going to get the same points as Stamkos, as far as I'm concerned.
Avalanche needs something. They're so bad. Maybe that's the spark they need. Maybe
it's tough. It's just, Landeskog isn't... He's not an offensive player. He's like a great captain. He bangs bodies. He's just like a pointless, I don't know, a Ginla power forward circa, who's also on that team. Like,
pointless?
Like fantasy pointless. Like, he doesn't perform. Like, I don't know. He's one of the most... he's a Taves tier fantasy, like, tease name, is how I feel about him now. It's like, oh, Landeskog was so good. Like, there's no way. If he's back, hey, pick him up. He can't be worse than, like, some fourth line or...
Okay, I'm going to pull up his stats.
Or Seth Griffith.
I'm going to pull up his stats right now while you talk about the next guy.
Next guy is a big fan of mine, Max Domi. Some reason is out 6 weeks. I was watching that game. He got in a fight with, I think it was Hathaway. I don't even know how it happened, but I don't know. It said upper body injury. I mean, he got punched in the eye, saw some blood. That can't be 6 weeks unless it's like an orbital bone issue, but... Yeah, with him being out 6 weeks, that's going to open up a spot, albeit it's on Arizona. But Tobias Reeder has moved up there. He plays with Hanzel. That team, I mean, Verbata's on the top line as well.
Someone's got to score.
It's a huge stretch. It's a reach. I imagine Reeder's going to be available in almost all the leagues possible. Keep an eye out for him.
I like Domi, too.
Yeah, Domi's a great player. I had him last year. I drafted him for my rookie. He was a pretty good player. I got no beef with Domi. It's just unfortunately he's out for 6 weeks out of a fight. I would have to see if it was a different injury, but I was watching that game, and then he fought, and then he was gone, and then the next day it was 6 weeks. Like, are you kidding me? So I have no idea what happened. I would love to find out what it is. But as it is right now, if you're really invested in Arizona, Tobias Reeder is your next best choice at this point.
There you go. So going back to the Landeskog, what points do you think he usually gets?
Landeskog?
Yeah.
50 points, maybe?
He's a 60-point guy. 59, 65. He missed some games last year and had 53.
Okay. So he's a 50-point guy.
Well, if he plays the full season, he's around 60.
Yeah. I don't know. He quietly squeaks out a season, I guess. I'm not a fan of Landeskog. I don't think he's worth... Okay, I'll just say it this way. I don't think he's worth his average draft position, I guess. That's just me.
That's probably true.
Yeah. I don't think he's worth that. Whatever you guys... And Yahoo ADP, I think, is what it's called for fantasy football and stuff. So,
yeah. Average draft position. Yeah.
So I'll just say that instead. I think he's...
That's more politically correct.
Yeah, that's more politically. I think he's a little bit overrated for his position.
All right. Nash is out with a groin injury. We just talked about this before the podcast. We don't know too much about it.
No, I don't know. Nash always gets injured every year. Hopefully this isn't too long.
He was putting together a nice...
He kind of revitalized. I mean, he wasn't going to get 40 goals again, it didn't look like, but, you know, good secondary player, you know?
Yeah, he wasn't hurting you sitting on your
team. No, he wasn't. Yeah, team. Absolutely.
Okay, and then the next guy on the last guy on the list before we get into the schedule is Hudler is back, or maybe
he's back. I know you picked him up yesterday.
Only to find out he was out with an illness.
And then he was still sick. I mean, he's been out with an illness like all year. We don't even know what the illness is. I'm not going to really speculate if it's a blood issue or whatever it is that usually keeps players out. Who knows?
They keep on saying he's skating and he's practicing, and then all of a sudden he's not there for the game because of the illness.
Yeah, if you got a free bench spot, why not? If you got space, pick him up, ride him out. Just know that he's going to be rusty and brutal for probably a week, I think, when he gets back into the actual game. And then we'll see how he gets utilized. Will he demote Patrick Eves? Will he demote...
Yes. They were already saying that Patrick Eves, in order to find out if Hudler's playing, Patrick Eves will be scratched before the game. So that's how you will know.
Okay.
That's what they were saying on the Dallas Stars website.
Yeah, there you go. There's an indicative meter for him. Hudler's a talented player. I mean, it's only 2 years ago. He got like 76 points, so it's not a huge reach. He's a pass-first kind of player.
The Stars need something.
Stars need anything.
Sharp.
It's just sharp.
Like, Sharp is out. Spezza's
kind of heating up, but it's just Spezza.
Hudler is out.
Yeah. It's a weird... Yeah, they need offense, which is funny to say on a team that is so offensive-driven. They're not getting any help for their D-line at all. Klingberg's having an off-season. Dallas is in a world of hurt, so...
Yeah.
Anything that comes back is going to hopefully give them a shot in the arm, so... It could be Hudler. Keep an eye out.
There you go. All right, let's move into the schedules. There's a couple of teams... This next week is kind of a little weird with schedules because the Christmas holidays are coming up.
Yes.
So they're kind of... There's nowhere all easy. No one's doing any big road trips or anything right now because they're just kind of popping over to a couple teams that are near them in order to get ready for the holidays. So they're not going away on like a week-long road trip.
Yeah, I don't think there's very many teams that are doing that at all.
No. So the one of the hardest ones, the Canadiens... Well, not the hardest one, but Canadiens are playing the Sharks and the Bruins. Two goalies that are super hot right now, and they only play two games.
Okay. So, yeah, don't expect a 10-1 repeat, and the volume of games is way too low to invest heavily in Montreal players, I would agree. Yeah, that's pretty much a dead week.
And they're going to be tough.
And if Rask shows up, that's almost a one-goal game, if that. So, yeah, that's a brutal fantasy schedule.
And then the Flames play the Columbus and Tampa, so they only play two games this week as well.
Okay, same deal. Jackets are pretty hard to play against. Lightning
not so much as of late.
Yeah, they've been pretty easy to score on. But again, two games is quite low. So keep an eye on that. But yeah, if you can get a guy in for that Lightning game, keep an eye out. But yeah, same thing. Two games is a lot to invest.
Yeah, the Stars play Hawks, Ducks, and Rangers.
Yikes.
So another...
That's quite the Western swing there.
A lot of elite goalies there for the Stars that aren't scoring right now. I look for Stars to get lit up. Unless Lettinen can keep playing how he's been playing. He's been playing pretty good lately.
He's been okay, yeah, I agree. He's been definitely a bright spot on that team. Yeah, Hawks and Ducks, that's a tough for anyone.
Hawks, Ducks, and Rangers. Like, Rangers maybe could squeak out a win, but...
Maybe, yeah. I mean, if I had to pick a team, I would say they beat the Blackhawks out of those three. that's like my, if I had to like gun to my head, like I had to pick a team, like those are tough teams. That's tough.
That is a very tough schedule for the Stars. Winnipeg, we wanted to make a note of this. They don't have a tough schedule. They have no schedule.
Yeah.
They play tonight, Sunday, and they have 4 days off.
Yeah, so I don't know if they're going to get bag skated for 4 days or how do you keep in shape. That is quite a little anomaly there. Props to me. I get a couple more Shifley rest days. Hopefully he gets a massage, gets all rubbed up there. I don't know. There's no one really injured on that team, I think, that needs a rest, so... Also, long rest is kind of bad. Teams come back rusty, so keep an eye on them. Hopefully, the coach can keep them fresh. But, yeah, unless you have literally the stars of those teams, like your Wheeler, Laneys, like Bufflin's, etc., Shifley, as I mentioned before, this is...
You need to find someone else to plug in there.
Yeah, I mean, one game in the week is like 4 day break. That's crazy. Yeah. People only get 4 breaks from work, and like these guys get 4 days from a game. That's crazy.
Spoiler alert for next week, that they have a huge schedule next week.
Yeah, they have it in spades. They're almost like back to back, so they're gonna need that rest. Yeah, that's what it looks like.
Yeah. All right, really soft schedules. Washington plays Vancouver tonight, and then Islanders and Carolina.
Yeah, those are gifts. Washington always destroys the Islanders from what I watch, so...
And usually Vancouver,
and
too.
Carolina and Vancouver.
Carolina's been playing better as of late.
Yeah, but not Washington better, so...
Yeah.
That's pretty soft, I agree.
And then Minnesota is going to be playing Florida, Nashville, Arizona, and Colorado.
Okay, so these guys have lots of games.
4 games.
Arizona, Colorado, definitely gifts. Nashville hasn't been scoring at all lately... And Florida is literally a coin toss, so pretty good week for Minnesota players.
Yeah, that's a lot. And last week, they only had 2 games.
Yeah, I had them last week, yeah. They just...
So now this week, they got the 4.
Makes sense.
All in a row. All right, let's jump into the risers. We've got some guys we want to talk about for your hockey leagues. I'm going to jump right in.
Sure.
And I'm going to group a whole bunch of my players together.
Okay, let's get it.
Because they're all from the Flames. We got Goudreau came back, started letting it up. All of a sudden, Monahan is playing with Goudreau again, and he is lighting it up with Goudreau. You got Dougie Hamilton that is lighting it up with them. And then Gio, all by association of Goudreau coming back, they're all doing really, really well now.
Yeah, I won't say I told you so, but Goudreau is the team. It's insane what he brings when he's back. Sounds like you listed every star on the Flames, so looks like the
Backlund.
Backlund's been okay. He's demoted back to the second line where he belongs. But nonetheless, the Flames are clicking as a unit. I think they won 6 straight. Chad Johnson's a wall.
Yes. He's helping a lot.
Yeah. Props to the Calgary Flames out there. You guys actually got a good-looking team, and hopefully they can make the playoffs to help my prediction go through from earlier in the year. And maybe... Glutzen will keep his job, because they were looking terrible for quite some time.
Yeah. No, it looks like they're back to their old ways. They're going to be looks like a tough team to play against.
Yeah.
That's the thing that's changed from the beginning. When they were first started the year, they were just being pushed around.
Yeah, they were. Yeah, I agree.
But now they're coming back. They're hitting hard. Furlan's doing stuff. I mean, they're playing a lot better. Dougie Hamilton is probably the sneakiest pickup there.
Yeah, I was going to say, fantasy implication-wise, Hamilton's probably I would agree. If you can acquire Hamilton from someone, maybe get a Doughty for Hamilton kind of trade, like, or some sort of established defenseman, Ryan Suter kind of thing, I would definitely look at acquiring Hamilton. He's playing, I mean, everyone knew Hamilton was great. He's finally on the top unit now where he belongs, or sort of the top line.
Defensive pair with Gio.
With Gio, so. Yeah. We knew the offensive touch was there, even in Boston, so. He looks great. If you can get a hold of him, get a hold of him. I have him in my head-to-head league, which I'm 2-5, whatever. but nonetheless, I did draft him, and he's actually starting to reward me, and I might actually go on a little roll here if he stays hot. So,
yeah, the nice thing about Calgary is they want to play from the defensive position forward.
Right.
Like, they want to start the shots coming from Hamilton and Gio, and then going forward to Goudreau and Monahan and everything. So those secondary assists are going to be... All from the defense.
Yeah, they have a really breakout type system, and it works that way for sure.
Okay, I'll let you go with a couple, because I just did all of Calgary.
I'll start off with I also had a Calgary. I had Backlund, I know you mentioned. He's got 3 points in the last game. His minutes are down with Goudreau back. He's back down to where he belongs. It's like the 15 to 14 minute stratosphere. If you really, really need a center, and most leagues, I'd don't think Backlund is your first choice. If he's, I imagine there's better centers, but if you're in a, you know, pick'em league like we are, kind of thing as well. So someone to keep an eye out. The Flames are rolling. If he's rolling, he gets power play minutes too. So just he's like, you know, like a patchwork guy kind of thing. If you need to fill in a hole somewhere,
yeah,
just keep an eye out for
him. Or something like
exactly.
That.
So I'll get to some more important guys here. I already talked about Plekanec. He got 4 points in his last game. He is at the top line center there. I know I didn't say he has offensive flair or anything like that, but the value is there just based on
opportunity.
The opportunity. So I'm not going to predict big things for this guy, but you literally can't go wrong if you need a guy, like desperately need a guy who's going to play 20-plus minutes and has the opportunity. I mean, he plays with Pacioretty. He plays with Radulov, whatever the top-tier talent is on that team. So he's older. I thought he'd be moved by now. I thought they would send him away for a pick or something, but so Plekanec he's worth a look is what I'm trying to say. So we'll see what goes there. The two other picks I have are two players I've been cycling out, both Minnesota players, Granlund and Zucker. Granlund has 2 points in his last two games. He's starting to get back to form. The more impressive one is actually Zucker, who has 8 points in 8 games. He actually went on a 7-game point streak, I think. He's a fantastic single, second-line kind of player. He rotates up and down between the first and second line. Obviously, Parise's back, so that eats up his minutes on the top line. He plays on a really good line. I mean, Koivu center, Granlund, Zucker, they're both on the same line, as I've mentioned already. If you need a winger, keep an eye out for Zucker. Again, he's not going to win you your week, but he's a consistent guy. And he's getting the minutes, the opportunity, so...
That line altogether, even Koivu has been an interesting play as of late because he's starting to chip in points.
Yeah, I mean, and we mentioned earlier that they have a really soft schedule, and they also play 4 times, which is why I wanted to bring them up.
Yeah.
Arizona, Colorado, those are going to be some pretty slack games, so they might get some more points there. I'll just crush the rest of my forwards here. I got Draisaitl. Draisaitl is officially on fire. 9 points in 6 games. If you manage to hang on to him, your patience was rewarded. If you manage to trade him, hopefully you still have all your hair because it was probably painful watching him get a team-leading 13th goal a few days ago. That's more goals than McDavid, by the way. So kid's good. Hopefully they get him off the third line and put him in the top six where he belongs. I doubt he's available in any league, but nonetheless, he was a player that does get massively hot and massively cold.
Yeah.
So wait out for his next cold streak, maybe buy him, go from there. Who knows? But as it is right now, he's officially on fire and definitely someone to watch.
Fun to watch.
Yeah.
He's got silky mitts.
Yeah, he's a great, great, fantastic player. The last player I have to talk about is just Josh Bailey again. I know I talked about him last week. He's still getting points, guys. He's still got another... He got a goal. He's still got an assist. Like, pick him up. I promise he's out there. He plays like a depth left wing position in most leagues. I don't know how heavy... If he didn't draft an elite left wing, he's probably good to plug in. So again, I'll put my name in the hat there for Josh Bailey on the Islanders. He's like one of the bright spots on that abysmal team right now. That's all I have for forwards. So
point per game guy. Okay, well, while you're talking about the Islanders, I'm going to mention Andres Lee.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
So he's got 5 points in the last couple games. They moved him to the first unit power play.
Yeah, that's good.
So I was playing with Tavares and
Bailey. Nelson, whoever else is up there, yeah.
Whoever they're rotating through. But the Islanders are starting to score. They're not winning games, but they're starting to score more.
Yeah, they're starting to get at least 2 a game. I mean, it's not net
at least 2 a game.
I mean, it's not net wins, but I mean, yeah, it's there. You know,
there is some fantasy.
There's some
relevance
life. Yeah, there's some
there.
Life. Yeah.
So, is it?
I think it's
Anders.
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 Anders. Like, you ever see that show Workaholics or whatever?
No.
Isn't there an Anders on that show?
I don't know.
You ever saw that show? Okay, never mind. Whatever.
Anders Lee. So he's heating up, and I don't think he was drafted. I think he's owned in less than 10% of.
Yeah, I'd be
leagues
blown,
out there.
I'd
so
be blown away if he was. Yeah,
that's an interesting pickup. And then I wanted to talk about two other players. The first one is definitely drafted. Kuznetsov.
Yeah,
is doing something. He has 4 assists in the last couple games. Is he back?
He's.
I don't know if he was ever here.
Yeah,
I guess last year he had a good year, but
I mean, he has life again. Like I said, he needs like a point per game for 60 games to get back to 70 points. Yeah, I mean, it's signs of life. Hey, if you have Kuznetsov and hung on to him, like I have him in my head-to-head league, actually, he's whatever.
This is awesome time to trade him now that he has like.
Oh, I would. Yeah.
Four assists. Oh, and it's dude. Like, oh, Kuznetsov is back.
Oh yeah, you'd be like, Kuznetsov's gonna go on a tear. Like you just know these three secondary assists he's gotten. Like you know, Kuznetsov's back. Give me whoever you have. Like, I would be moving this guy as like hotcakes if I had him in my league. Like,
yep.
The fact that it. When someone checks the game log, they don't see like eight straight donuts. They see a couple assists. They're like, okay, you know, Kuznetsov's back. He plays power play. To be fair, he has to get points. He has to get them. He won't approach last year, as we know. But if I had Kuznetsov, I'd still be moving him for a steadier player. So
he's back on the top line.
Yeah, I mean that's
with Ovechkin.
Yeah, like I don't know what else you can ask for. It's just one of those off years. So just move him.
Then another guy that you drafted that I wanted to talk about was Fabry.
Yes.
He's a guy that was not drafted very much. I think he was drafted in 20% yep. of league, so a very low number again. He's got 3 goals, 1 assist in the last couple games. Plays with Tarasenko.
Yeah.
That's the Crosby effect, right? Yeah, you're playing on the same line, you're going to get points.
Yeah, I mean, everyone's going to be going out of their way to make sure the pass doesn't get to Tarasenko. It's going to open up lanes for Fabry. He's a talented dude. I thought he'd get a little bit more points than he's on pace for. But if he sticks with this line like he should, I can see them breaking up the success on that line.
Did you cut him already?
I cut him up about a month ago. So he was like ice cold.
He was very cold for a while.
I think he had like 2 goals or something. To be fair, he only has 5 now, so I don't look like a total moron. But
3 in the last couple
of weeks. But he's heating up, yeah. And like I said, Tarasenko of that line, it speaks for itself. What else you need?
That's a crazy thing about his points in the last couple games, 3 goals, 1 assist, so he's scoring.
Yeah.
Like, I think Tarasenko had 4 assists the last game.
Tarasenko's kind of a dishmaster, and he opens up lanes, and when you're a defenseman and you see Tarasenko and Fabry, chances are you're blocking the Tarasenko shot, and yeah. It's going to open up lanes for this guy. So the opportunity is definitely there. He's getting some power play points every once in a while as well. So, yeah, I mean, if he ever gets dropped in our league, I'll take another look at him. But as it is right now, if he's available in your guys's, he's probably better than at least something you got on your team. You might have a dual eligibility left wing, right wing, or just left wing. I don't know. Something to look at.
Do you have any other... You got defensemen on there? I already talked about Dougie Hamilton and Gio. I have one more defense.
I just have one. We're talking about... It's not really a huge thing, but Provorov was moved to the top pair today.
Right.
Which brings up Gostisbehere. He is apparently a healthy scratch tonight, which is really weird. It's not like he's not producing points. He had a power play assist, I think, last game as well. So maybe he missed a meeting. Maybe he's just beaking off the coach.
From what they said was he's scratched so that Delzato can play because Delzato was injured a little bit. So I don't know if they... Like, they don't have their 6 defense sorted out. They're kind of subbing in guys.
No, if I pick 6 defense, I would not ever think about scratching Gostisbehere. Who knows? We'll see what it is. I'm not going to say keep an eye on Delzato. He's going to slot into the bottom third pair. So as it is today, Provorov is a number one line defenseman. Keep an eye on that if he continues, especially if he moves. Well, he'll never move up to the top power play unit. That's the tough one. It'll either be Streit or Gostisbehere that takes over that role. So we'll see what happens. But till then, I don't think it'll be anyone. But yeah, it's Streit right now.
Yeah. Second unit. Yeah. For him, but Provorov is a nice pick on a team that's scoring 6 goals a game.
Yeah, the team scores. Like I said, eventually,
Philly is insane right now.
Yeah, eventually you get a breakout pass to Drew, Voracek, Simmons, Shen. They're all scoring.
Yeah, which is awesome. Okay, then I have Jacob Slavin.
I don't even know. Slavin? We'll go Slavin.
He is playing in Carolina. He's got 3 points the last couple games. He has moved up to the number one power play unit and has taken over Hanifin's spot. We talked about him before as a breakout.
Hanifin is no longer a thing. Slavin is
Jacob Slavin.
Slavin is the new Hanifin, I guess. I don't watch any Carolina games. If there's any Carolina fans,
no one does.
I would love to be told how this guy plays. I don't have enough time in the day to dedicate to watching a Carolina game. I'm sorry, guys. If they make the playoffs, I'll check it out again. Or if I want to watch the tape of Stahl playing with Brind'Amour. But till then. I'll just have to agree. The numbers will go with the numbers. So numbers are there, opportunities there. Look for Slavin, and maybe he'll reward you in a sneaky way.
That's your deep sleeper.
Yeah, that's a good
pick
one.
of the week.
No doubt.
I don't think he's less than 1%.
I would say he's got to be in that bottom 5%. Yeah, 3% tops, maybe.
He's probably one of those people that you go to their stats and they don't even have a picture yet. It just has like an outline shadow.
Just says like JS over his name, like just his initials. Like,
waiting for his picture.
Yeah.
All right, do you got any, you, no more defensemen? Do you got a goalies?
One here. We couldn't really find a goalie, so yours is the main one. I'll just give a props to Steve Mason. Philly is on fire. Mason, I think, has 6 or 7 straight victories. He is finally getting a night off tonight. Stallers is taking the game. Don't panic, Mason owners like myself. He'll be back for another 7-game stretch, I'm sure. And he's winning them all. So if Mason is available, it looks like he finally... Is, dare we say, opportunity? Did he take it finally? Like, whoever it down is.
This, I hope so.
I hope so. I mean, I hope for Philly's sake. I like Philly a lot. One of my favorite teams. So, if Mason's available, the streak, I'm sure, hopefully, will continue. Ride until you can. Or if you own Mason and you want to be a super savvy owner, you could trade him for a super steady guy. And while he is hot, maybe, like, I don't know who's really struggling right now. But I mean, hey, maybe you could get like a Dubnyk or some steadier goaltender, which is also a really good move to do if
in
you
a package
are,
or something.
Yeah, exactly, because I mean they're gonna look at Mason's numbers and they're like, oh, this might continue all year, which it might, who knows. But always good players to move, or streaky players, especially if you can get the steady end of it. So something to think about.
Does this help Mason coming into the free agent market at the end of the year?
It has to.
Do you think
he might even get re-signed if he gets them to the playoffs and like they maybe do a round or two in? I mean, you can't cut him, I don't think. He wasn't really commanding a salary that was, like, worth anything. Obviously, you'll have to get rid of Neuwirth. But then again, $10 next year, he plays awful. And then we talk about this again. So, I have no idea. Consistency is an issue with this man, but I don't know. That's something to keep an eye out, though. Because, yeah, like I said, Neuwirth and him are both free this year. So, we'll see what Philly direction they want to go in. So, as is right now, he's definitely making a case to stay. So,
yeah, he's making the best of his opportunity there.
Mm-hmm.
Goalie that I just wanted to touch on quickly, probably isn't going to supplant the starter anytime soon, but Ranta.
Yeah,
I can't say any names.
Anti Ranta, good name.
Anti Ranta, rat,
just Ranta.
Ranta
ran so far away.
Ranta. He's got a couple wins in his last couple games, but he's starting to poach starts from Lundqvist.
Yeah, he has a back to back. Are you kidding me? Like, which he is played weird. Yesterday and tonight, I thought for sure Lundqvist would be in tonight. I was even like when you showed me the thing today, I was like, yeah, okay. Like, they're going to start ranting in a back-to-back. Like, I mean, are you kidding me? Yeah, dude's a talented goaltender. He's eaten Lundqvist starts. He's worth a stash. I don't think there's an injury in Lundqvist, so I don't think it's going to be like a long-term thing. But
yeah, Lundqvist is still backing up.
Yeah, but he's not like gone, so it's not like it's a... I don't know. You got a goalie spot, stash him. Keep an eye out. He's probably a good week-to-week play kind of thing. I mean, he just got a back-to-back, and Rangers are still a strong team, so why not? He's probably available.
I got a theory for you.
Okay, what's the theory? The
theory is that he's being showcased.
Oh, of course.
He's being showcased for a trade that is going to go down. There are definitely some teams that are looking at a goalie or a...
Teams do need playoff depth goaltending.
Yeah. And backups,
exactly. So, I mean, yeah, it's not even like a starter. Like, you see this every year.
The aforementioned team, Philadelphia.
Yeah, Philadelphia needs a goaltender. Even last year, we saw, obviously, the Fleury-Murray situation. Like, teams go to their backups actually a lot more than expected in the playoffs. And if the backups get hot, they just take over. So, Ranta could be that guy. Yeah, that's actually a really good plan. I mean, if Ranta starts crushing these out, I doubt he's... He's not in the books for a lot of money, so he's probably really cap-friendly acquisition.
Yep.
Probably team would just want like a some pick, maybe like a 5th round or some random roster player. So, yeah, that's actually... I'll have to keep an eye on that. I wonder if Ranta will move.
What about a team like Montreal?
No.
Well, for a backup.
Yeah, I mean, I guess...
They don't have a backup.
It depends what they want to give up, I guess. I mean, well, Bergevin gives up anything, so, I mean, Subban's gone, so... Yeah, it's not a bad
idea. But there are those teams that have the number one goalie that needs a break.
Yep. Yeah, there's teams that need... I mean, like I said, Washington's a perfect example. They have Grubauer, who actually plays amazingly as a backup. Darlene's great. And if Ranta's good and a team needs a playoff goalie, yeah, it's actually a pretty sneaky acquisition. Glenn Sather's kind of a... Actually, I don't even know if he's still the GM anymore. I'd have to look that up. I think he retired. But he was definitely like a buy-first kind of guy. Like, the Rangers were not a very proactive team. So we'll see what they do with him. I would love to see him traded. That's actually a really cool idea. We'll keep an eye on that.
That's my theory. It's my theory on him.
It's a good theory.
You got any other one? Anyone other guys want to talk about on
there?
I
am tapped out for this upcoming week.
All right. Let's move into our kudos for the week. Go ahead. I like yours.
My kudos is kind of a bizarre kudos, I suppose. I was on YouTube today, and I got somehow directed to something called Simpsons Wave. It's essentially like trance techno music over Simpson clips. A lot of them are actually pretty thought-provoking and actually like really well done. I probably sound like some rave master. Like, I don't even want to get into it, but nonetheless, if you have a chance to check it out and you like mellow trance type music, study music kind of thing, check out Simpsons Wave on YouTube. And there's tons of videos made by tons of different creators and stuff like that, and a lot of them are fantastic. And if you're looking for new artists and stuff to listen to, tons of variety there. So, and again, who doesn't like watching old Simpsons clips? I know I do. They're always funny. So that is my kudos for the week.
Yeah, I just watched a little bit of it before the pod.
Yeah, I've shown you.
You're telling me to watch it.
Yeah.
And it's kind of funny because the Simpsons clips aren't like the laughing ones. They're more of like the touching moments.
Yeah.
They're hugging or...
Yeah, it's like an emotional video, and it gives you a different perspective. It just shows that music can change things you see. So
with the trance music going in the background, like you just kind of get into like a mellow mood.
Yeah, you know, it's pretty good stuff. I found it was really relaxing, so...
And you said there's like tons?
Yeah, there's tons. There's probably like 30, 40, even more. It gets created all the time. It's like a weird thing. I don't know if it's going to blow up, but if it does, you heard it here first. But nonetheless, Simpson Wave.
It'll be on Ellen next week, probably.
Yeah, probably. Check it out.
All right. My kudos is a preemptive kudos.
Okay.
Rogue One is out this week.
Oh, this week?
This week.
Oh, my goodness.
Rogue One is out. I am so excited. So this is after the first three and before four, when they have the plans for the Death Star.
Yeah, I guess that's right, because the first three are the latest three, right? And then the last three are the last three, yeah. Or sorry, the first three are the last three. Like chronologically
yes,
wise. Yeah,
yes,
yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. So this is the story of the pilots, as far as we know, acquiring, hopefully getting the Death Star plans. It looks like Vader's going to make an appearance, so that's going to be sweet.
Yeah, because at the beginning of the older Star Wars movies, they get the plans.
Yeah, yeah. And New Hope is basically, they find out there's this mega weapon, and
yeah,
obviously, spoiler, it just destroys, you know, Alderaan and goes on and on. So that looks fantastic. I mean, Star Wars, what can you say, man? It's amazing.
I'm excited. Even like episode 7 or whatever was...
Yeah, the latest one was awesome too. What was it? Wow. Force Awakens. That's what it's called. Yeah.
Are they going to be doing like one every year now?
Yeah, that's what I've been told is... well, not told, read. Is that essentially it's going to go like canon kind of story, like Force Awakens, and then it'll be like a sidetrack, or sorry, like a standalone movie, and then back to the main one, the standalone, because there is a Han Solo movie now.
Yep, I heard that.
I'm not sure who Han Solo is casted, but that guy Donald Glover is Lando Calrissian, so there's going to be a standalone movie there. He's a funny guy. He's on Community and Childish Gambino rapper, so yeah, good time to be a Star Wars fan. At least got another four or five straight years of movies, so...
It's gonna be.
I didn't even realize Rogue One was that soon. I am literally gonna coordinate with you and whoever else to go see it because that's gonna be great.
It is the most wonderful time of the year. All right, that's all the time we got for today. Remember to check us out on Twitter and Facebook at FantasyNHLTalk. We'll answer all your questions. Tell us how your league is going. We like to just hear random stuff and tell us if we're wrong. Tell us if we're right.
Yeah, let us know if you're buying or selling. Ideas. Yeah, hey, we love all the feedback is great, so we're actually getting lots. See if it slows down around Christmas time. Hey, if you just want to wish us Merry Christmas, we'll wish you Merry Christmas as well.
If you want to hear different stuff on the podcast, if you want us to look into different information, more about hits, more about shots, mm-hmm. let us know. We can always incorporate that stuff, like the schedule. We started adding in the soft and hard schedule to the podcast because someone suggested that's a good idea.
Yeah, like I said, yeah, totally open to feedback. We love it. Yeah, whatever we can do to make the podcast more informative and try to make it as fun as possible.
And I also wanted to note before we leave that around the holidays. We're probably going to be taking a couple days off or something, probably Christmas week, so we might not have a pod that week. Other than that, we'll be back next Sunday. We will see you guys then.